The vine and the branches has always been one of my favorite images that Jesus uses. It's always spoken to me for some reason, just that image of being on the vine. You know, that's how we remain fruitful, is by staying united to Christ, living with Christ in our lives day by day. The potential when we're connected to Christ is limitless, and when we're separated from Christ, we can't do anything. So that's pretty clear. It's a good image. And if you think of a branch connected to the vine or not, it just makes sense. St. Paul, one of the greatest evangelists, he's someone that we can look to as an example of what it looks like to be connected to the vine, right? His whole life, just this constant work of evangelizing and sharing the faith. And there's so many other examples, right? So many people that we could look to be examples to us of what it looks like to be connected to Christ. I want to share with you one example from someone from our diocese, from our area, who I would say was someone who lived connected to the vine. There's a little booklet at the back of churches this weekend that I'll be handing out, or just you can just grab it on your way out if you're interested. It's a little biography of a guy named Monsignor Joseph Boo. He was a Slovenian priest who grew up in Slovenia. Then he moved here. After 6 years of ordination, he had this desire to be a missionary, and so he came here to work and help people come to the faith. So let me tell you a little bit about him. He lived from 1833 to 1922. So he was an old guy. In the picture you'll see, he's got a big beard, really inspiring. I'm never going to get there, but I will someday. It's great to see someone who's dedicated, right? And all the pictures, you can see him in many pictures that we have in our diocese. You can always tell him because he's got this giant beard, and it wasn't his style at all, but that's what he did. So anyway, Monsignor Joseph Boo, he first served kind of in this area. He was in Belle Prairie for 12 years when he first got here in 1865, and he served with Father Francis Pierce, who there's the town called Pierce. I'm wondering if that's connected. I haven't done any research on that, but he actually worked in this area first, and he worked with Native Americans. That was his first kind of, and for many years of his early missionary work, it was working with the Native Americans and helping them, and also the immigrants, right? So immigrants, there were lots of immigrants coming to Minnesota at that time, and so he served those people, trying to help them meet the Lord. So that was kind of his first stage. And then in the late 1860s, he started working up on the Iron Range. That was a little bit later. So he did a lot of work on the iron ore range, started in Tower, and had lots of little missions. Our diocese was just being established. It was established in 1890. So he was up there, and the bishop at the time was so impressed with his work that he made him the vicar general and the chancellor all in one. So he had a lot of work to do. He also established a Slovenian newspaper, the first one in the United States. He could speak like 5 or 6 languages fluently. So he's just one of those people that just could pick languages up. So I wish I had that gift, but I don't. But certainly as a missionary, that'd be handy. So he was good at languages. He went back home for a little bit in 1870 to visit his family back in Slovenia. And on the way, he stopped in Rome and was there for part of the First Vatican Council. And so he was a man who traveled much, saw lots of different cultures, lots of things. He could have easily probably just been, you know, a professor or a parish priest in some comfortable place. But he chose to be here. He was inspired by the letters that came from missionaries over here, and he came here to serve in these places and really endured many hardships. If you read, there's a bigger biography about him that I haven't read yet, but I'd like to read it, that shows just the hardships that he endured to go and share the gospel. He eventually went to Ely and served as pastor there for the remainder of his time as a pastor for 18 years, and he was up there and just really, you know, worked hard. There was an economic crisis in 1893, and he set up a house specifically for those who didn't have a place to stay or were kind of in crisis mode, and he provided a place for those people to stay. He continued to be the chancellor and the vicar general and different capacities in diocesan work, even though he was the pastor up in Ely. So you can imagine back then taking the trains. First it was horse and buggy, and then it was trains. Or before that even was walking and so forth. But just a man that saw a lot of change in a small amount of time in his lifetime and was able to do a lot of things for the Lord. So I'm inspired by him because here's a soul who just was plugged in, right? He plugged into the vine and received that constant nourishment from Christ. To do all the things he did and to do them well, he must have had an amazing prayer life. He must have been really just plugged in to how Christ was feeding him and helping him to do things. And he just strikes me as one of those people who wasn't like, well, we can't do that. It was always like, how can we do that? How can we make this work? How can we help this person or this group of people or this situation get better? How can we make that fit with our current circumstances? So it's inspiring to see a soul like that, right? To know someone like that, to be close to someone like that, that has an ability to organize and bring people around. And so a leader in the faith is obviously super inspiring. But the reality is we're all needed, right? All of us are needed. And to be that missionary mindset that we're called to have in our day, we're all called to be missionaries. So we're living in missionary times where there's many people that we come into contact every day who don't know God or don't believe in God or don't trust in God or don't have a lived faith. And so we are missionaries. And how do we speak to them? How do we know what to do for them? How do we know how to sacrifice for them, for our families, for our community? How do we become these people that God is calling us to be? It's by staying connected to Christ, right? Ultimately, what allows any of us to do anything good is to be united to Christ. And so part of that is doing what you're doing, being here at Mass, praying, just opening ourselves, asking God, what do you want from me today? What is it that you're asking me to do? Each in our own vocation, we're called to offer ourselves to the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing when you see someone who's given themselves to the Lord in a full way, in a way that is fruitful. Christ is calling us. He's calling us and inviting us to be like Monsignor Joseph Boo, like Mother Cabrini, maybe some of you saw that movie that came out recently, or like St. Paul and many, many others, right? There's lots of ways sainthood looks like in our day and in the past. But let's be inspired. Let's read their stories. Let's see what they're about. Let's understand how they remain connected to Christ through many challenging things. If you're not grafted on the vine right now, if you're feeling kind of dead and kind of withered and sort of like, man, my vine is really struggling, hey, it's all right. Get connected. Get back to the Lord. Get back to the sacraments. The Lord is working in our lives and He will continue to call us. So let's be excited about where and how God is going to call us, where and how God is inviting us to be His missionaries, to be His vine out in the world that brings life, that's sustaining His work. The Lord is very generous with those who are generous with Him, so we can be fruitful in the way that God is calling us to be if we are just simply connected to Him and remain open to His guidance. So we pray for that today at this Mass, that we would have an openness like Mr. Bearded Monsignor Boo, that we can be like him. Right here in our own diocese.